Next is a class given by Srila Gurupada on Radhastami, September the 22nd, 1985, at Gitanagari.
Today is Radhastami, the appearance day of Srimati Radharani. I've chosen this verse because it describes the sole qualification for seeing and knowing Krishna, and that is Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochanena, unalloyed love. That's all that is required. And without that, any other qualifications you have will not enable you to know Krishna. And of all devotees who have attained the love of Krishna, the greatest devotee is Srimati Radharani. Srila Prabhupada introduced Krishna consciousness, of course, gradually, but from the very beginning he introduced us to Srimati Radharani as the best devotee of Krishna. So you see in the 26th Second Avenue the pictures of that time, you see the oval painting of Radha Krishna. And on Radhastami, 1966 was the day that I was initiated along with Brahmananda and Chutananda. So Prabhupada used to tell us right from those beginning days who Radharani was in a very simple way. That is my a realization to date about Radharani, that she is the best devotee of Krishna. Why? Because nobody loves Krishna as much as she does. So that was an instruction, you can say, to beginners, certainly. And yet it does give us the rasa of Radharani for Krishna, and it does actually explain in full why she is the best devotee, or you could, in a sutra form, the best devotee, the best lover of Krishna. Who Radharani was in a very simple way, that is my realization to date about Radharani, that she is the best devotee of Krishna. Why? Because nobody loves Krishna as much as she does. So that was an instruction, you can say, to beginners, certainly. And yet it does give us the rasa of Radharani for Krishna, and it does actually explain in full why she is the best devotee, or you could, in a sutra form, the best devotee, the best lover of Krishna. And all the other activities of Radharani are actually expanding on this principle, how she loves Krishna better than anyone else. As some of them we can relate to, and some of them we cannot understand until we are completely pure. So those especially that we can relate to is that how Radharani, like other gopis, but better than any other gopis, was willing to do anything to please Krishna and succeeded. She was a young girl born in the same area as Krishna, in the Vrindavan area, and like all the girls, she was very much attracted to Krishna because he's all beautiful. And you know that she was of the same age as Krishna, a little bit younger. So those girls were already married, because the girls get married much younger than the boys. So they were already married, and Krishna was older than them and not married, but they all were attracted to him. So that attraction was dangerous for them. But when Krishna played the flute in the evening, they would go to see Krishna, leaving all their responsibilities and material reputation. They would risk everything, and even risk their lives, because they would go to the forest where there were snakes and other animals at night. So for a young girl to go alone at night meant not only risk, but there was her reputation would definitely be lost, and then risk because it's dark night. So they would risk everything just to please Krishna. And Radharani especially, her whole meditation was how to please Krishna by pleasing the senses of Krishna, serving Krishna in any way that he desired. So that is something that we have to follow. This is the basic understanding of love. As I say, to describe the conjugal mood of that love and the Ladini Shakti, the way that they exchange love unlimitedly, that is a very advanced subject. But the introduction of love, which any devotee should understand, that love is for God, it's not for anyone else, it's not for family, for self, in terms of the body or mind, it's not for country, but love is for Krishna, which Radharani exemplifies, that puts us an enormous step ahead of all the non-devotees, of all religious people even, who don't really know how to love God. So this is the gift of Krishna consciousness movement, how to love, where to place your love. Therefore we take both positions. Like Srila Prabhupada has written in that Vyas Pujamaj, he wrote in 1935, he said, we consider ourselves very tiny and not advanced, but on this principle which we have learned from our spiritual master about the supreme position of Krishna consciousness and the need for it in human society, we are prepared to discuss this with full confidence with anyone who disagrees with us. We can convince them. So we're like that. We realize and accept a very advanced position in human society by the grace of Guru and Krishna, specifically on this topic of love, because this is a religion of love, or the philosophy of love, bhakti. It's only about love. And yet, when we, although we take that position as leader, Brahmin of society, Vaishnava, or servant of Vaishnava, then when we see those who have actually realized love, Radharani or great devotees of Radha, then we have to understand that we know very, very little. But this giant step is of great significance and should never be forgotten. And we want to always stay on this platform, practice on this platform, sadhana bhakti, and try to educate humanity about this. There's that incident in the Prabhupada Lilamrita where one devotee was talking to Prabhupada, and there was some question about sex desire and whether he should get married. So he asked Prabhupada, well, this marriage in Krishna consciousness is, how can you know you love the girl if you don't have much association with her first? This was his concern. How would you actually know that you loved your wife or the girl you're going to marry? So Prabhupada said, love? Love is for Krishna. So prema is love when it's spiritual or for Krishna. We don't love anything else separately. We may have love for wife or love for God brother in Krishna consciousness, love for institution, ISKCON. But it's all on the basis of loving service to Krishna, trying to please Krishna. This is the actual inspiration of love. Prema, Krishnadas Kaviraj said, is not selfish. is for pleasing Krishna. That's the test. And kama, or desire, is for yourself, and in the misconception of the self, and it's not pleasing to Krishna. Your so-called loving sentiments or loving acts, they're actually disturbance to Krishna. They're a concocted idea of love. Like the man trying to save the drowning man's shirt and pants. The love is not appreciated actually by the man, and it is useless love. So perhaps love is one of the most abused words of all the words. People have an idea that they want love or they do love, but they don't know. They only know lust or kama, because love has to be pleasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to whom we are connected, who is the source of all actual love, eternal love. And that every bhakta is introduced to and can act on that platform right away. So it's not surprising then that the spiritual master tells us about Radharani from the beginning. And later we can hear the different pastimes and qualities of Srimati Radharani, which is also a great wonder that we are able to do this by the grace of Lord Chaitanya, who was he was actually the mixed the mixed appearance of Radha, of Krishna, but in the mood of Radha. So we're describing a teeny bit about Radha. So, but this subject is so engrossing to the actual pure devotee that all the way up to Krishna, this love for Radharani is inquired into, and they want to taste it. And Krishna himself is not able to taste it because he's Krishna, he's not Radha. He's the object of Radha's love. But he wanted to taste that ecstasy, that love, and that vision of Krishna which he had. So he took the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was Krishna, but in the golden complexion and mood of Radharani. And he taught us about Krishna consciousness, which again culminates in love of Krishna. And love of Krishna culminates in Radharani. So Radharani is therefore called the controller of the whole process of Krishna consciousness as Bhakti Devi. Bhakti means love of Krishna, and she is the personification of that. So she actually has charge of all the devotees, because this is a movement of love of Krishna. Yeah. Therefore, she's the most supreme. They're like in the material world, the biggest politician or the biggest money maker or the strongest person, he's in charge, he's the head, and everyone wants to aspire to that. But in Krishna consciousness, the greatest achievement is love of Krishna. So the person in charge is Radharani. She has a direct access to Krishna. And, as we will read in the Krishna Das Kaviraj's book, the nature of her love is that it's not selfish. Although she's got the intimate position right beside Krishna, like no one else, her desire is that everyone should taste this love of Krishna, and that's her greatest pleasure, is to bring others to Krishna. So she's the mistress of bhakti, and all the devotees take shelter of Srimati Radharani, and they pray to Srimati Radharani through the spiritual master, who's therefore the representative of Srimati Radharani. Please, Radharani, tell your Krishna about us, or please offer this to Krishna. Therefore, in Vrindavan, she is the chief person, even over Krishna. There they have such an intimate grasp of the Radha-Krishna relationship that they say, Radharani, we worship Radharani, even before Krishna. Because Krishna is hard to achieve, the supreme Purusha, male personality of Godhead. But Radharani, she's a woman, she's in charge, not a woman, but she is feminine, counterpart of Krishna. She is our access to Krishna through her mercy. And in those first days in New York City, Prabhupada used to say that Radharani is kind, therefore we fast only till noon. like a break, a lenient treatment. So this indicates what Radharani is like, whereas Krishna, and even in our own consciousness of realization, to achieve the goal on Janmashtami, we have to fast all the way to midnight to attain Krishna, Janmashtami. But to attain Radharani, it's a little easier. That's because that's Radharani. We should aspire to approach Krishna by practicing love of Krishna as Radharani does, and as Radharani helps us. So this is the whole process of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedanam. All that we learn from Rupa Goswami about devotional service is actually when we practice it, we have a relationship with Srimati Radharani, who is our spiritual master, and we'll get her blessings. So we worship Radha Krishna. We hear about their pastimes, the Rasa dance, and all the pastimes in Vrindavan are mostly about Radha and Krishna. And all the intimate associates of Krishna, they take part in that in different ways. This is the goal of our worship through the six Goswamis. Again, consider what a giant step it is. And even aside from the karmis, even in religion, people think that God is the impersonal. Or they have an idea that God, that he's a person. But that he is Shyam Sundar, beautiful Krishna, and can be understood in his relationship to Radharani. That's only we understand through the six Goswamis, not even in Vaishnavism, as is practiced throughout the centuries around India. In the different sampradaya is this revealed, but only in this Brahma Gaudiya sampradaya. And all the devotees in the temples, they worship Radha Krishna. Don't worship as our worshipable deity the other incarnations, but we worship Radha Krishna, although it is very, very advanced. That is their mercy, that even the children and the young boys and girls and men and women who are conditioned souls are able to approach this topmost understanding of God and his eternal consort. So Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena, the meaning is that those persons who have the ointment of love of God on their eyes, they can see Shyam Sundar Krishna, who is very beautiful form within their hearts all the time because of this qualification that they have attained, prema. And this we have to show, as Radharani did, by body, by mind, by words. We love in that way. It is not just that you feel a certain sentiment, but you have to put your body on the line by rendering services and working for Krishna. You love in that way, sincere love. Working on the farm or working on Sankirtan, these are expressions of love very clearly. Otherwise, why would the persons do it? Prabhupada used to say about himself, why are they following this beggar sannyasi, poor Indian? I have not bribed them. But we felt attracted to him in love as Radha's representative. And on the basis of love for him, the devotees, they would go all over the world in so many difficult situations, giving up youth, sense gratification, different material promises that were especially available in the West because of love for Prabhupada, who promised us that we would get Krishna's love if we acted in this way. So it was intelligent, we decided it was the best, and the other path was doomed. So In love for Prabhupada, we try to serve Krishna in love. So that can be done by everyone. By sacrificing, and that is tapasya, and doing your duties. It's our whole the basis. Therefore, we don't get paid. We're not seeking for remuneration in terms of honor or different things, but just because we want Krishna to be pleased with our activities. And don't think that the love is completely unattainable by us. But whatever you do, and you can feel it when it's hard work or it's a test. Now, why am I doing this? Because I am surrendered. And it is pleasing to Krishna. Therefore, even if I feel it as unpleasing, just like some of you last night had to run out just a time to take rest to bring in all the cows. Not very nice activity in one sense. It's so disturbing. But it's Krishna's cows, so Krishna won't be pleased if they're running around all night. They have to be protected. So you did it, even though it was inconvenient. Why? Love. It's a basis of our activities. We may say, I don't readily feel love, like I'm in ecstasy. But if you get down to the bottom of why you're doing it, there's love is there. Either you want to attain love, or you have attained a little love, but you want to surrender to this bhakti path, Radharani's path. You want to be like that, even though we may be doing it in a dragging way, still not loving. That is also a path to loving, the lamentation, I'm not loving, but I want to love. I won't give up this path of love of Krishna. All the other paths I detest, but even on this path I am hampered by this kama instead of the prema. If we stay in the company of those who are on the path of prema bhakti, chant the Hare Krishna mantra as a prime means to awaken that love of God in this age, then we'll attain a love of Krishna, the ultimate goal. So I'll stop here if there are any questions. Yes, Gauri.
You get an example that devotees live in convenience and go out and count. So, based on love, can you explain a little bit about suppose that loving mood is not there, and it's done out of duty. So, love and duty.
Well, that's what I've been saying, that even if we haven't attained it spontaneously, still, even for that dutiful person, all right, I'll do it. If as long as that sense of mere duty its foundation is surrender, then he's well situated. It's not good, of course, and the gopis will not act like that begrudgingly. All right, I'll do it. Krishna wants. Krishna doesn't even have to ask. They're just ready to serve him all the time. So it's not very advanced. But if we recognize, oh, that's just my nasty nature, that's my material personality, which I'm not going to surrender to that, then it's not going to obstruct us in the end. Sadhana bhakti. It's the same thing. The example is that there's a mango, and when the mango is unripe, it doesn't taste nice yet. But it will become ripe. It's not a potato or a stone. It will turn into a mango. So this whole path, from the beginning, where the devotee says, all right, I'll get up, I'll go to Arati, I'll see Krishna and Radha. From that all the way to the person who, like Lord Chaitanya, he can't even sleep at night, thinking of Radharani and Krishna. It's all the mango of bhakti, yoga. So this is also well situated to do your duty, just as a dutiful soldier or servant. And then utsaha nishchaya dharya, confident and patient that the love will come. That's also on a loving platform, immature, not mature yet. But it's the path of bhakti yoga. But if you do your duty for some nonsense goal, under the direction not of the spiritual master or Radharani, but under some other leader, then you can be dutiful or you can be spontaneous. It's all useless. Better to be dutiful devotee than a spontaneous non-devotee. Yes, what's that?
What does the name of Radharani mean?
The best worshipper. Sometimes some of the so-called scholars or persons who think they know about the scriptures point out that the name Radharani is not actually even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the main work of Vyasadeva to expound Krishna. So Krishna is important, but if Radharani is not even there, why do you make so much about Radharani? But actually, she is described in the pastimes of the Rasa dance. It's described that one gopi left the Rasa dance, and Krishna was most attracted to her because she was the best devotee, most attractive, therefore. And when she left, then Krishna was prepared to leave the Rasa dance himself to find her. So that one gopi is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, and in the Sanskrit she's mentioned as Aradhana, which means the best, or the worshipper, the best worshipper, best gopi. So Radharani means worshipper. Krishna is the worshipable Supreme Personality of Godhead. She's worshipping expansion of Krishna. So we worship her. Just as we say, the spiritual master, he's the servitor Godhead. So she's like that. She's the expansion of Godhead to worship him. And genuine devotees are attracted, as we say, sometimes even more to her worshiping mood than to the worshipable one. Which means, of course, that they gain the pleasure of the worshipable one, Krishna. Krishna's best worshipper. Yes?
There are also many other thousands of names of Radharani which are in the Shastra that I perceive. Thousands of names describing Radharani. Leela and Tashi, control Krishna, Ami. She fulfills all the inhabitants of Rajasthan.
Yeah, although Srimad Bhagavatam does describe her and mentions her in a less open way, but by the mercy of the six Goswamis, especially Rupa Goswami, we're given all detailed information, like the many names describing Radharani, and all her activities are described in Nectar of Devotion. We get much of that. Especially Nectar of Devotion is available to us for learning many, many things about Radharani and in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So there's not only scant information about her. Yes?
So the six Goswamis, there's so much information in their work that was presented, which is
How did that information get into the Srimad Bhagavatam that was seen by Srila Vyasadeva? So they saw even things Srila Vyasadeva didn't see. Rupa Goswami, he's not ordinary mortal or some poetic writer. But the pastimes of Krishna was revealed to him. There's one verse that, as in the beginning, Lord Krishna revealed the Vedas to Lord Brahma, but only up to a certain point. However, the pastimes of Radha Krishna through Lord Chaitanya were revealed to the Goswami, so they could tell the world about Radha Krishna.
Is it true that Radharani's name is not even mentioned?
That's what we just explained, that it's mentioned as Aradhana, one gopi, and then it's like describes her, that she's the best worshipper. So her name is there. Yes?
Just as in Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani is the prominent figure and object, worship. Is it also true that in our Krishna consciousness movement, Srila Prabhupada, the spiritual master, being the expansion of Radharani, is also the most prominent figure?
Yes. Because how can we go to Krishna or Radha? What presumption? Except through Srila Prabhupada. It's not that he just told us about it and then he becomes a minor figure. But he's always the fountainhead of the mercy of Radharani or Krishna. That's the disciplic succession. We do not jump over.
So when Srila Prabhupada was with us, because he was the central object of love, he was able to resolve all of our differences and problems. But now, especially recently, it appears that the problems and differences are becoming almost unresolvable. So I'm just wondering if you can.
Well, as you're a disciple of Prabhupada or a follower of Prabhupada, you have to follow the instructions he gave you, and even if you can't, certainly I can't, resolve all the problems of all the devotees working together, you can start by yourself becoming peacefully, productively situated in relation to Prabhupada. And then the problems will be, if one person can solve, if one person can have hope, then more persons can have hope of working together in Krishna consciousness. Problems are not irresolvable even now. Everything is going on. A perfect ideal world society is not attainable right now. We just call it growing pains. But it's not that we're surrounded on all sides by failure and hopelessness. We may be surrounded by fight, but just these very, recent events, although there was so much pain and there may be long-lasting animosities, but still I think there was progress rather than that there was so much disturbance and it took so much opposition to bring about progress is unfortunate. But the result of it wasn't that now everything is finished and split up. No, it's not easy to. It's almost impossible to have a spiritual movement in Kali Yuga, but not quite impossible. So we have to, as you suggest, put Prabhupada in the center and recognize he's the source of our well-being and Krishna, our existence in Krishna consciousness. And that principle, when it's actually realized in every way, will make us successful. But I don't think recent events or any events, future events, should make us despair about practicing Krishna consciousness. Yes?
Is it true, I heard it from long ago, that this movement and the devotees are considered to be under the control of Radharani?
Yes. That's in the Nectar Devotion, one of the qualifications. One of the characteristics, six characteristics. What is that? That it's rarely achieved. It's under the control of Radharani. All the bhaktas. They're under Krishna, and because they're all worshippers, they're particularly under Radharani. She's the expert in all the different arts and methods of pleasing Krishna that we're also practicing. Yes?
What is the significance of the fact that when we refer to the deities, it is always Ratha Damodar, never Damodar Ratha?
That's just the first comes the energy, then the energetic, like also Sita Ram, Lakshmi Narayan, and Radha Krishna. First you approach Radharani, get her mercy, like she has. Well, that's like Lakshmi, the consort of Krishna, has her hand giving the benediction. So you get the benediction of the consort of Krishna, and then you can approach Krishna. First the energy. Oh, Hare Krishna is also like that. Oh, Radharani, oh Krishna, please engage me in your service. So first you approach Radharani, and then you approach Krishna.
Is it a similar thing within the...
Because she's like simultaneously God and yet a devotee. It's like that. We're all devotees. We're not God. So she's like the most insider devotee, one of us, who's trying to please Krishna. And yet her status is the same as God's. So we have one of our kind, one of the devotees. You can say it like that, as is in the most intimate position. So we should appeal to our devotee leader, Srimati Radharani first, and then Krishna. Without her, there's no hope.
Is it a similar thing within the Mahamantra that
yes.
Time that Krishna or Ram's name appears? Her name appears twice.
Hare is the address of Hara. Hara is Radharani, mother. Oh, mother. That mother image, or mother understanding, is for the devotees also, that she's the mother of bhakti. So we say, oh, energy or mother of bhakti. The address is Hara. Hare means, oh, Hara. Hara is one of the names of Radharani. Ohara, energy of God. Then, the next address, O God, Krishna. For the Maha, the especially Hare Krishna is the call on Radharani. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. The energy of God, and God is the supreme pleasure potency. Any of the ladies have any questions? Yes.
I feel that those recent meetings are very positive in the sense that there needs to be now forum for discussion amongst the devotees in these conferences. Whereas perhaps there may have been some feelings at the end before. There's no means to bring them out by communicating those meetings or whatever. Now it's happening. Large feeling of cheerfulness
based on that. Yes. It may have come out in very unpleasant ways or even offensive ways, but now maybe the communication can be done more Vaishnava way, but as you say, at least now it can come out and people listening to each other. So it'll be constructive. If you're just silent or underground and your grievances are not expressed or rectified, it becomes worse. But we have a long way to go. There's many more meetings and difficulties, but we have to see it in a positive way. How we can? What is our individual relevance to this movement? How can we serve, and in a pure way, not to be swept up by just some political idea of control or taking control? But how? What are we supposed to do in this movement? What is the best thing for us to do? How can we serve the other devotees? All right, I'll end here. Thank you very much.
Next is an excerpt from a morning walk given by Srila Gurupad on September the 25th, 1985, at Gita Nagari.
Gurupad, Prabhupada made a point that the karma that one accepts is done on the basis of the responsibility that one takes.
The karma that one...
The question came up about karma being accepted by either the Diksha or the Shiksha gurus. Krishnananda really asked the question.
Yeah.
And Paramananda responded by saying, well,
no sparring today.
As a school teacher, you experience karmic reactions on the basis of the karma of your students. They may say things and do things and with you, and in that way you're experiencing...
Now that's a very broad definition, which is valid. In that sense, we're all... If we meet some nasty person, we're experiencing his karma. Everyone is interacting with each other's karma. But some persons are actually more responsible for the... Once the person is surrendered to a spiritual master, then he's supposed to be free from his karma. So any new enactments of sinful life are upon the spiritual master. And even the past karma that was given up. But anyway, what were you going to...
Well,
the broad definition was being given that a school teacher, he also receives the karma from his students. The temple president receives the karma if they misbehave. The king receives a certain percentage of the misbehavior of the citizens. So everyone is, not just the Diksha guru, but anyone who takes charge of a person who proposes that he will lead that person, he gets some of the sinful reaction.
Indrajunga Maharaj then said that it's the responsibility that you're willing to accept. And when he said that, I was thinking that this is a very important aspect, that a whole personalism in our philosophy hinges upon the amount of responsibility that we're willing to accept for others. Is that right? Is that a proper understanding of what it means to be personal?
That's not the only thing of being personal. How much... Yeah, you could say like that, but we're supposed to surrender as much as possible. So if you avoid surrendering, you're avoiding fulfilling that personal obligation that you have. Somehow or other, you've evaded it or avoided it by some rationalization. Whereas another person has surrendered more and taken on more responsibility. So he's becoming a full bhakta personally. And if you're avoiding it, it's like you're not living up to what you should do as a person. What is a person? A person is the servant of Krishna. If we try to be a selfish person and just not take on a lot of responsibilities of service or surrender, that's not being a real person. Being a narrow, petty-minded version of a person. The more we surrender and take responsibility, the more relief we get, the more happy we will become.
Paramananda was also talking about the point that we have to qualify ourselves in order to take on responsibility. And isn't it also kind of natural to feel a little bit cautious or hesitant to want to take on some heavy responsibility, especially in light of the fact that so many, you know, senior devotees have fallen?
Well, they didn't fall by taking on responsibility. There's some anartha. But
taking responsibility is not a direct cause of falling down, but it's the cause of falling down is when the enjoying spirit enters, which may be done if you don't take responsibility, or it may happen to a heavy worker. But to answer your question, yes, we should be cautious about taking on a lot of responsibility for others if we don't think we can actually do it. So we should go ahead. Like Prabhupada said, when you walk on the street, you don't put your foot down until you see the ground is solid ahead, and you can. So you should be cautious, see where you're stepping, but keep going. So that may mean that gradually, step by step, you may enter all these different responsibilities that you don't think you can do now. When they're properly assigned, not that you grab them by politics or out of some wrong ambition, but as the different responsibilities come to you, then don't shy from them. Don't turn them down when you actually get them. Like if someone is recommended for initiation and they repeatedly say, no, I'm not ready. So there's something wrong with that. If persons are telling them, go ahead, you can do this now, they should go ahead. But then they should do it.
Srila Gurupada, I would just like to express my happiness in that I feel that I have an authentic spiritual master. And that all these incidents that occur only magnified your greatness, Srila Gurupada.
Yeah.